Getting you ready for 104.5 The Zone's Week 5 High School Football Game of the Week. Will Bowling, Lucas Panzeca back with you. Pleased to be joined by Brentwood High School head football coach Clint Finch as he gets his Bruins ready for the Battle of the Woods right here on The Zone. Coach, great to talk to you. Cannot believe it is Week 5 already, and I'm sure that you guys are just as shocked and as always about how quickly this season is flying by.
It never, the older I get, the faster they seem to go. You know, it just seems like it was just yesterday we were coming back from dead period, and here we are halfway through this thing. But we're super excited to be playing this game on Friday.
Well, Coach, let's start with the win on Friday night over Henry County. When you take a look at the film from that game and kind of have some time to reflect on how that game went, what do you think the biggest difference was between that first half and that really good second half that your team played to come back and get the victory?
So, you know, we feel like even when we were 0-3, we felt like in a lot of ways we were making a lot of progress, but we have not valued the football this year. And we went into that Henry County game talking about valuing the football and limiting turnovers. And that first half, we turned it over twice and it leads to 14 points for Henry County. Who's obviously a really well-coached football team, a really good football team. But we went in at halftime, and I just had a really honest conversation with the offense. I said, I think defense is upholding their end of the bargain for us, but right now we're not upholding our end of the bargain. We're not valuing the football. I felt like I was looking at some kids who had a lot of doubt in their ability to get the job done. But I said, listen, at the end of the day, you got to get yourself up off the floor. You got to pull somebody else up off the floor with you. That was kind of our message this past week. And when we came out the second half and we had some really good things happen for us, and sometimes that's what it takes in high school football. You need to catch a break here or there. You need a big play. We had some kids step up. And then it was just, you know, once we got it rolling in the second half, I think it was the best half of football we've played all year. So it was certainly a tale of two ball games. I'll say that.
Well, Coach, I imagine, too, it's an advantage to see the teams that you all saw in weeks 1-3 in Blackman, Father Ryan, and Summit. Those are three of the toughest opponents you could start a season off with, especially in your first year as the head coach. How much of a challenge was that? But how much do you think your guys benefited from those challenges in those first 3 weeks of the season?
So, you know, we play in what I think is one of the best regions in the state. I think that the Williamson County League is a really well-coached league with a lot of really talented football players. And I think there's a lot of well-coached leagues and a lot of, you know, really talented football players out there. But I've lived in this league since 2006, so I have a lot of respect for what goes on in football in Williamson County. We have to play those games because we know that once we get into league play, it's never going to get any easier. You know, it's going to be a battle every Friday night. You know, we certainly didn't want to start 0-3, but we knew we were going to play good competition, and we knew we'd have an opportunity to improve ourselves by playing good competition. And I think we're trending the right way as we really get into the meat of the region schedule.
Coach, you mentioned you guys were making good progress that was kind of negated by not taking care of the football, some of those turnovers early. How would you detail some of that progress early on in the season where you guys were able to make strides?
Well, I think, you know, we obviously, we make no bones about it. We know that we lost some really, really talented kids off the 2020 football team. But what we found is that we had, he was a really talented guy in 2020, but we found that Aaron Walton was a guy that we could trust to be our go-to football player. I mean, Aaron has caught 11 passes, 10 passes, and I think 9 passes. So we knew that, you know, we felt like he was a go-to guy. Matthew Manning is a sophomore. And Matthew stepped up, became our second leading receiver. And so that was progress to find out that those guys could do it. We've had to shuffle the O-line. We wound up taking the kid that we thought was going to be our left tackle, Sam Beasley, and moving him to center. And he's done a great job for us. So a lot of our progress in this deal has simply been trying to find, after graduating a lot of good kids, which I don't want, that's not an excuse. We always graduate a lot of good kids, but has been trying to find where we need to put all the pieces to the puzzle at to be successful on Friday night. And I think, and I got to say this too, I think really after week one, our defense has consistently gotten better each week. And that's been a team effort. It's been a great job by the defensive staff. I think we're a pretty tough defensive football team right now.
obviously, anytime a coach like Ron Crawford leaves a program, it's going to be quite a transition. But you, having spent all those years under Coach Crawford, the familiarity with the program, the relationships with all the players, just how critical was that in to make this transition as seamless as possible?
Well, I mean, what we tried to do is we always said, what I've always said is at the end of the day, I want this to look like a Ron Crawford coach football team. We're going to play with a lot of passion. We're going to play with a lot of intensity. We're going to play really, really hard. And that was never we never questioned the kids doing that through those first three games. We thought we were playing as hard as we could play. We were giving everything we could give. I just felt like we were kind of stumbling over ourselves every now and then. But I think because I'd worked with Ron for a long time, I consider Ron Crawford to be my mentor. I consider my other mentor to be Will Hester. I knew that, listen, when times are tough, there's one way to deal with it. You go out every day. You try to get better. I learned that from both of those guys. And that's what we've stressed with our football team. We're trying to improve every day.
Coach Davis White on Friday, of course, was a big part of that comeback, 16-24, 231 yards and those two touchdowns. How is he similar to maybe a Carson Shacklett and Cade Granzow? And how is he maybe a little bit different and a unique style of quarterback in his first year as a starter this year?
So, you know, Cade was, you know, 6'3", 225 pounds, and Cade did a lot of good stuff throwing the football. But at the end of the day, we always knew that we kind of had a guy in the backfield that we could hammer the ball with. And you know, Dave's not that guy. He's not the same physical presence. I'd say that Dave fits in the mold of Carson Shacklett a little bit better. He is elusively fast. Where Davis does such a good job and where he did such a good job on Friday night was his ability to extend plays and find the open receiver. Right when we scored that first touchdown, it was a play that had broken apart. It had fallen apart on us. He had the presence of mind to get out of the pocket, push himself to the sideline, and find an open receiver to get the ball down to the 4-yard line. And that's where Dave excels. You know, he also is a kid that doesn't get flustered. He's a pretty calm, relaxed kind of guy. Just goes out there, goes about his business and plays. But does a great job of extending plays and finding open receivers.
Coach, on the defensive side, your team only gives up 108 yards passing on Friday against Henry County. How much of a strength is this secondary specifically for this defense, and how big of a challenge is it stopping a guy like Chris Parson, who can also extend the play with his legs and chuck the ball 50, 60 yards down the field for Ravenwood?
So, you know, we have sat there and we faced, obviously, you know, we played Summit, who has obviously one of the Wade twins at quarterback. And so we've kind of seen a really dynamic quarterback in the game before. But the best thing that we have going for us on defense right now is we have a great leader on the back end with Jake Brock. He plays free safety for us. We consider Jake essentially to be another coach on the field. He understands all the checks. He understands all the coverage. We also have him paired up with Carter Patton, who's a senior cornerback, started all 14 games for us last year. So to have those two guys on the back end, anytime you've got quarterbacks that can spin the ball pretty well, we think that's one of our strong points right there. I've been really impressed in that we've had kind of some moving pieces at one of the corner back positions, but we've had a number of guys step up. We've got some injuries back there right now, but that's a battle we've been facing all year. So that back end has been pretty solid for us. We are figuring out, again, I think we figured out a lot of our personnel on the defensive line. One of the reasons we felt like we were able to limit a pretty good quarterback at Henry County from getting a lot of yards on us was we were able to put some pressure on him. We were able to force him to get the ball out in a hurry. So again, I think right now, you know, if I'm the head coach, but I'm the offensive coordinator, but I think I really recognize that our defense is playing really, really well right now. And that's probably the strength of our football team.
You kind of brought it up, that Summit game a couple of weeks ago. Obviously they're new to the classification, new to the region, but they fit right in, right? In terms of the coaching staff, the personnel on the field, it's certainly been a seamless transition there. So other than the stuff you just mentioned, what else about playing them early in the year prepared you for matchups like Ravenwood and the rest of this Region 7 6A slate?
So, I mean, I think when you look at it, obviously they have Summit has a dynamic quarterback. We know Ravenwood does. Summit's going to run the football really well. We think that goes a long way. So when you're playing a Centennial who runs the football really well, getting you ready for that kind of ball game, we see a multiplicity of formations from everybody we play. At the end of the day, you know, I don't think there's a tremendous amount of difference from any of our teams in the league. I think, again, that's what makes it such a cool league to play in. Every Friday night, whoever's playing, you can expect it to be a pretty good football game. So you better take whatever lessons you learned, whether it was Summit or Father Ryan or Henry County, or the lessons that we learn on Friday when we play Ravenwood. You better be able to take those lessons, turn it around, and apply it to the next region opponent, because they're going to be a pretty good football team and they're going to be well coached. And I don't think there's a tremendous amount of difference between any of us right now.
What more strides does Brentwood High School need to make in order to be competing at the top of this region by the end of the season? Can you give us just one or two focal points that you guys are really hammering at this point?
So I think if I got a dollar for every time I talked about ball security mm-hmm. and lock the ball up and value the football, I could probably retire right now if they would pay me by the coach speak saying there. That's been a big deal for us, is obviously valuing the football. I'll be honest. So one of the things that we knew about this football team is that we were going to have to show improvement from week to week. And really, from the time we've got back from dead period, yeah, we've got to throw the football better. We've got to block better, and we've got to value the football. We've always got to be able to get off the field on third down on defense, and our special teams have to be good. But at the end of the day, the message to our kids has been really consistent. You go out every day and you try to be the absolute best football player you can be. And if we can get 99 football players at their absolute best, and we can get 11 coaches at their absolute best, and that's our focus, then we're going to be a pretty tough team as we finish out this season. But that's where our focus has to be. We don't talk about wins right now. We don't talk about how many points we score. We talk about being the best group of guys we can be every single day in practice, every Friday night we go out. And that's really our focus, to compete in this league and finish this year out strong.
Coach, one final thing for you. You mentioned the familiarity you have with Coach Will Hester on the Ravenwood side. I know anyone in Brentwood or Ravenwood is looking forward to this matchup every single year, but how unique is it for you with the way you know Coach Hester? How much do you look forward to that element of this matchup?
So, you know, the story is that Will and I worked together at Brentwood. We were both assistants at Brentwood for 3 years. In 2013, when he got the job at Ravenwood, I actually went with him to Ravenwood and had the pleasure of working for him at Ravenwood. I came back to be the offensive coordinator here at Brentwood. So not only is it always fun to get to work with Will, he and Ron Crawford are my two mentors. I know how serious Will takes his craft. I learned a lot from Will Hester, not just offense and defense, but how to run a football team, just like I learned a lot from Ryan Crawford. I'm looking forward to it because I think we're two guys that have been on both sides of the fence. We both want our teams to go out and do really well this Friday night. I always hope Will wins, except for one game of the year, and that one's this Friday night. And I will root against him on this Friday night. And I'd like to think Will feels the same way about me, except for this Friday night.
Coach Clint Finch has been our guest here on 104.5 The Zone, getting you ready for Battle of the Woods in week number 5 right here on The Zone Game of the Week. Coach, we really appreciate the time and best of luck.
Thank you so much, guys. We appreciate everything you do for high school football.
Week number 5 on 104.5 The Zone, getting you ready for our Game of the Week. It's the Battle of the Woods with Ravenwood traveling to Brentwood High School. We are pleased to be joined by Ravenwood head football coach Will Hester here on 104.5 The Zone. Coach, great to talk to you again. From week 1 to week 5, it's great to see you all. And as you reflect back on what your team has done since that week 1 loss to MBA, where do you feel like this team has improved the most as you head into week number 5?
Well, if y'all remember that week, I'd like to say we've improved in almost every area. Obviously, turnovers plagued us pretty heavily that night. The inability to get off the field against the heavy run game of MBA that night was also Achilles heel of ours. And we've gotten healthy. You know, we had some key players out that first night. Those guys are now back playing for us. And, you know, their leadership that they've added back to the team and being on the field has really made a difference over the last few weeks.
Yeah, and those guys, Miles Pollard, Andrew Dudas, Isaac Rollins, huge pieces. I know Dudas last week, 11 tackles, 2 sacks, and that big win for you guys over Life Christian Academy. How specifically have you seen them integrate back into this lineup, and how quickly have you guys really been able to get them back up to speed with a lot of that veteran experience now back in your defense?
Yeah, I mean, most of those guys were released a week before playing. So Miles and Dudas both played their first action, you know, Friday night, just a few days ago. Isaac the week previous to that against Franklin. So, but all of those guys got some practice time in probably the week prior. So, I mean, they got up to speed pretty quick. Obviously, a lot of experience with those guys. So it was more about making sure that their conditioning level was where it needed to be to play at a high level and just getting them mentally back into regular game prep type action.
Coach, it seems like Chris Parson has had some level of maturation over the last three games offensively. Just looking at the numbers, you've scored 35 or more points in those three wins since week one. What can you say about his progress since that opening season loss to MBA and how he sort of settled into the season?
Yeah, I mean, just like any player who gets multiple reps, you know, Chris started the state championship game in Texas as a freshman, but that was really his only true start as the guy up until this year. So NBA was his second career start. And each and every week, the game has kind of started to slow down more and more for him, and his decision-making process has gone through the roof. No one's ever questioned his ability or his talent, but, you know, quite frankly, there's just some things you learn by doing, especially at that position on the field. A little bit different at other spots where you can kind of go off of instinct and things of that nature. But, you know, in the end, playing quarterback's a tough deal, and you need to get those reps for the game to slow down. I really think it has for Chris. Each and every week, he's gotten better and better and better about making the little decisions. You know, he's always had the arm talent. He's always had the ability to run and make people miss and extend plays, as y'all saw in week one. But now he's, you know, not making the, you know, the cross the body throw, trying to make a big play when maybe the big play just isn't there that time. Instead of every play trying to be a touchdown, he's learning to, you know, to play and kind of take what the defense gives him. And I think it's allowed us, you know, we've gone 2 weeks now without a turnover on offense. And I think, you know, obviously playing clean football is a big deal when you're trying to play against good competition.
Well, even in that week one loss, it was apparent that the connection was there between Chris Parson and Lee Mollett, your wide receiver. Maybe that was because he was willing to take more of those deep shots in week one, but seems like that connection's kind of been maintained. What has that meant to your football team on offense in the last 3 weeks between those two players?
I mean, I think it's been great. Obviously, we knew going into the season that Lee was going to be a heavy target of Chris's. You know, we play him at the X receiver position, which is the backside, so he generally gets some sort of single coverage. And but, you know, you go for 9 for 190 in the first game of the year, and now you're garnering a lot of attention. So, it, you know, he has to get seen some double stuff, which opens up the field for us. And, you know, but Chris has done a really good job of spreading the ball around. If you look at our stats over the last few games, we've had many guys involved catching the football and kind of spread it around. It's kind of been a different guy every week. You know, Lee was the big yardage guy the first week, and then against BGA, I believe it was, he had a couple of touchdowns, but not the yardage he had the first game. And so we've kind of spread it around. Blake Irvin and Nick Rom have had touchdowns for us. Kaysen Edmondson had a big game against Franklin. So everybody in our receiver core has been producing.
Coach, when you talk about this group up front, on the offensive line and the defensive line, our guy Tate Matthews was telling us last week that Life Christian Academy had a bigger offensive line than a lot of college teams. How do you think your guys handled that challenge? I know Chris Parson, in addition to his yardage through the air, had 89 on the ground too. How big of a challenge was that? And as you look back at the film, how do you feel like you kind of your big guys did against Life Christian Academy?
Well, I mean, they're not as big as those guys, that's for sure. So to call them our big guys, I mean, that they're big for us, but they weren't big for them. So super proud of those guys. You know, they were very large human beings. A lot of those guys were Division I offers. And, you know, I'm just glad that our guys stepped up to the challenge. We still rushed the ball for almost 200 yards last week. You know, between Chris and Carter Pace and Cartua Chapman, we were able to spread the ball around kind of our three-headed monster that we've been using at running back. And, you know, anytime you can run the football and control the clock and stay on the field and help your defense, you know, whether it be a rest back up or make adjustments in between series, you know, it's a big deal. And for us to be able to hold up against the offensive line of Life Christian on the D-line, I thought that was big for us. because we're not the biggest up front. We have to use our movement and our quickness in order to play against those bigger guys. And we didn't do a great job of that against the big front of NBA in week one. But the maturation from week one to week four, I think was has been very good for our guys. And hopefully we can continue that trend as we get into the heart of region play.
Coach, I want to go back to Andrew Dudas and the way he played on Friday. As you kind of evaluate him, not just on Friday night, but just as a football player, it's a guy we didn't get to see in that week one game against Montgomery Bell Academy. How would you describe the way that he plays on the defensive side?
Well, he's our alpha over there. You know, Miles and Isaac, and they have all the offers and get all the attention. But, you know, by nature, they're quiet dudes. They just do their job. And you know, they make big plays for us, but they're not the rah-rah guy. They're not the hype guy. You know, that's Dudas for us. He's the coach on the field. He's getting everybody lined up. He's communicating with the front. He's communicating with the back end to make sure we're in the right call. And then he flies to the football. You know, he's kind of one of those heat-seeking missiles. And, you know, it was truly a shot in the arm for us to get him back last week. And to be 100% honest with you, Will, we didn't plan on playing him as much as we did against Life. He just played at such a high level. And when he came off, he was telling us that he felt good and he was definitely looked good out there. So he ended up getting more reps than we had necessarily planned. We had him on a pitch count, and I guess the pitch count went out the window, and Andrew ended up playing just about every snap of the game, but he played at a very high level.
Coach, Will and I just got done talking to Coach Finch over at Brentwood. Really cool to hear him talk about kind of y'all's history, being on the same staff together, you as sort of a mentor to him, along with Ron Crawford, obviously formerly of Brentwood. So what's that like for you, that dynamic of being on opposite sidelines from a guy you know so well in Clint Finch in such a huge rivalry game for the community?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, Clint and I have known each other and been a part of staffs together for a long time. You know, both of us as assistants for Ron together. And then, you know, Ron leaves and goes to Cleveland, and we have the opportunity to go to Ravenwood and kind of get that turned around. And, you know, Clint was a part of that. You know, the first staff that we went to the state championship game with, and, you know, owe a lot to him and what he's meant to me as a head coach and helping me, you know, kind of get to where I am today. Obviously both of us, you know, mentored greatly by Coach Crawford. I mean, I think if anything, you know, we've learned how to focus on relationships with our players. And I think that's the most important takeaway we can have from Coach Crawford. Obviously, he's a great football coach, an X-Nos coach, but, you know, how he treats people and how, you know, he gets the kids to buy into whatever it is he's selling, whatever it is he thinks is important that week. You know, he can sell ice cubes to an Eskimo, and those kids, they eat that stuff up. And, you know, but as far as Clint and I go, you know, we live within a half a mile of each other here in the same neighborhood and see each other all the time. And, you know, Clint's going to do a wonderful job at Brentwood, and, you know, tough situation following what I would consider one of the greatest high school coaches in Tennessee history in Ron Crawford. But, you know, if those guys had the turnover bug like us early in the year, and they've kind of remedied some of that. And, you know, you need to watch out for the Bruins here on the back end of the schedule, because Clint Finch is a good coach and he's got a bunch of other great coaches around him.
Well, and I know you want to beat them on Friday night. So just could you talk a little bit about that matchup? You mentioned them shoring up some of those turnover issues. Really felt like they kind of got back on the right track last week in that big comeback win over Henry County. And now diving back into region play, specifically in the post-Ron Crawford, Cade Granzow era, what problems do the Brentwood Bruins pose?
Well, obviously, Aaron Walton is a monster, right? They're going to play him all over the field on offense. You know, we've got to almost have the mentality of knowing where's Waldo, if you will. We got to be able to identify and find where he's at on each and every play. And then they do a great job in the run game. It's a different run game than the Cade Granzow area. That was more of a quarterback-driven run game. Now it's more, you know, true running back RPO type stuff that they're doing. Clint's always done a phenomenal job in the screen game. We're going to have to be cognizant of that. Does a good job of putting formation into the boundary and trying to screen you into the boundary, and then taking the, you know, the shots off the screen and go and things of those nature. So we're going to have to play very disciplined defensive football against those guys. We're going to have to try to keep them on the turnover bug if we can and get some takeaways. You know, playing defense, whether it be college or NFL or high school football, has changed. You know, you used to try to shut people out and hold them to 10 points or less. Now it's, can I get four or five stops a game? Because in the end, offenses have gotten so good and so high-powered, and Davis White is a great trigger man. You know, played some great ball last year, and when Cade was banged up, came in the playoffs and orchestrated a big win over Cane Ridge for them last year on their trip to the state championship game. And then defensively, you know, it's got Ron Crawford's fingerprints all over it. It's still very much a Ron Crawford defense, which means they're going to play very sound, very technical football. They got some very good athletes over there. You know, Seth Carter does a great job on the inside at linebacker for them, make lots and lots of tackles. And the low young man and outside linebacker is a monster as well. Then for whatever reason, Jake Brock, that dude finds his way around the football all the time. So we got to make sure that he doesn't find his way near the football when we have it on Friday night.
Coach Will Hester has been our guest here on 104.5 The Zone. You can listen to his Ravenwood Raptors travel to Brentwood this Friday night to take on the Bruins in the newest installment of the Battle of the Woods. Coach, it's one of my favorite games to call every year, and we are looking forward to it Friday night. Best of luck.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.